Good morning all, it's Friday the 20th of August, and we thank God for this Friday. This chapter of Thessalonians has been filled with directions and guidelines that help us to have the correct attitude and to demonstrate correct actions each day. This section of Paul's letter ends with words of encouragement. Now, to grasp why the next five verses were written, we need to remember that the Thessalonian church believed that the second coming of Jesus was very close. They had misunderstood what would happen when a Christian dies before Jesus' return, and felt that the deceased, therefore, could not be with Jesus. This is what Paul is addressing in these verses. Let's read them together. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Paul wanted the church to change their attitude and their actions in this regard. People outside the church saw church members grieving a Christian's death as if that person had suffered a huge loss. In fact, it was catastrophic. This was a serious situation, as hope for the future is fundamental to all who are Christian. Verse 13 explains that we do not grieve like people who have no hope. Our expectation of the future is based on what Jesus has done for us, and this is explained in the very next verse. It's because of Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven that we know we have hope for the future, as Jesus shows us what happens after death. This is a theme that Paul also addressed in Corinthians, as we read in chapter 15, verses 20 to 23. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all who belong to Christ will be raised when he comes back. All Christian believers have this certain expectation or hope for the future based on the greatest promise ever given to us. The death of the body is not eternal death of our spirit. Because Jesus rose from the grave in his glorified body, he established the standard for all who believe in Christ. Their body would die, but their spirit will live for all eternity in God's loving presence. And 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 52 reads, "For when that trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die, our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. This is the amazing promise that the believers in the Thessalonian church had not yet grasped. Now, verses 14 to 17 are often referred to as the rapture verses, referring to a teaching on the second coming of Jesus. Before we look at these verses, let's think for a few moments on this phrase. Firstly, the phrase "the rapture" does not appear in the Bible, and this is a doctrine that has been taught only over the last 200 odd years. Now, I do not want to spend time trying to explain the doctrine of the rapture. Instead, I am more interested in the truth of the Bible. Yeah, Paul was intent on explaining what would happen when Jesus returns in triumph to the earth a second time. Unfortunately, many people have been misled by popular fiction that puts forth the second coming of Jesus as a time to be feared. For example, in the series of Left Behind novels, there are stories that create an atmosphere of fear in an attempt to convince people to accept Christ. Now, this does not reflect God's love, patience, and kindness in any way. Returning to our verses, we see the announcement of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. This is dealt with more in the next chapter as well, and so you will hear more on this next week. It is enough to say that those Christian believers who have passed away will be the first ones to rise from the grave, and then together with those believers who are alive, we'll meet up with Jesus in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah! Yeah, we will see the fulfillment of Jesus' promise in John 14, verses 1 to 3. This is something that we can so look forward to with great expectation and anticipation. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And trust also in me, said Jesus. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And Paul ends this part of his letter with an instruction to each of us, that we make use of this truth to encourage each other to hope in the future. So, Father, thank you that you are our hope for the future. Help us, Lord, to be able to express this hope in our actions and our attitudes, as well as in our words. Father, that we ask that today would be a day where we work through the whole day knowing that you are in us and your presence surrounds us. In Jesus' name, amen.